So are you ready for the Academy Awards?
Wait, are the Academy Awards soon?
Yeah, they're this Sunday.
I literally work in the film industry, and I had no idea. You know why I don't care? Because it's become such a mess, and with this whole Kevin Hart thing, and like, by the way, also, if they need someone to host, why didn't they just call me?
I would pay to go see that show with you as host.
That would be awesome.
If I could do it and I could do anything I wanted and they'd have to pay me so much money because I would probably never work again.
Ever.
I would just run my mouth. Like, do you remember all that stuff Gervais. I was saying before we started? It would be basically like Ricky Gervais, but without like the foundation
any filters.
Of extras and the office and like, oh, well, right. He's actually kind of a genius and we know that.
Who is this like guy?
Some rando up on stage just spouting crazy crap all night long. Making snarky comments about the dance numbers, the films that win, the films that don't win. Yeah. It would be a mess. I would love it. I would pay to see myself watch. No, I would pay myself to see myself do that.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Yes.
I think it's going to be an interesting broadcast because this could be the beginning of the end of the Oscars.
They decided to put those awards back on the air, right?
Which was good. That was good.
The cinematography awards, which I did a whole tirade about.
I read about just 2 or 3 days ago, the exact same thing. It's just like, how could they not have the two most important categories to the film industry on the broadcast? So they acquiesced to that because a lot of the, I guess, the Academy voters were up in arms. But they were going to do that the most popular film award?
Yes.
That got scrapped. So that's a goner. But this crop of nominees this year was a down year. There's going to be tremendous outlash because Black Panther's not going to win probably any awards. It was nominated because it was socially responsible, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not going to win any awards. And Roma's probably going to win a ton of awards, and people are going to be like, that was complete trash. What was that? I couldn't even watch it. I watched it. I thought it was great. I thought it was brilliant.
It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It is an amazing film. And people who don't get it, just sit back and first read about Cuarón's life. And why he made the film, then that'll give you some insight. You're basically looking into the fishbowl and seeing his life, and he's shot it that way. And it is a beautiful film. As a filmmaker, an appreciation of the process to create something that beautiful, it is worthy of all the praise that it's getting.
Yeah.
So that's
that said, is it the best film? I don't know.
I don't know.
Look back over. I almost feel like there should be like a couple years delay when we look back over remember Crash won Best Film?
Yeah, yeah.
Crash. Yeah. Like, would anyone even watch that film now? Like,
it was a shocker when it won. I remember that was one of those like what?
But like
last year, just Shape of Water. Really, really, that was the best picture.
Yeah.
Billboards wasn't better. Phantom Thread wasn't better. I thought those two films were superior to Shape of Water. Shape of Water was okay, but it was not a best picture.
I mean, it's just, you know, ever since, they started this switch over to corporate films, which was started in the 90s, mm-hmm. and then it's become more and more so this way. Like, it's all, you know, Disney films and Star Wars, and they put so much money into that, and they just don't put enough. I don't think they make enough great smaller films. I'm not talking about like they all need to be $50 million, whatever, but just like, let's instead of one more $150 million budget, let's make 10 $15 million budget.
Sure.
And you don't have to release them in the theaters. Warner Brothers or 20th Century Fox, they don't have to go into theaters necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Do a short run, you put them on Netflix, however you want to do it. I don't care. But more, just take some of that and like, look, of those 10 or 15 films you can make with that same amount of money, one of them's going to get you that profit you want.
Sure. And it doesn't take much to make the money back for a $10, $15 million film.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You look, you just make sure you put an Asian person in it so you can show it overseas. Put a couple explosions in, you know, whatever, a third of them so you can play it in all the other underdeveloped countries. They love explosions. Look, mm-hmm. I understand you want to make money. Everyone wants to make money. I want to make money, John.
Well, I guess
when
you
start
to see... But at
the same time, let's see some art,
right.
People.
Yeah. You know, you're seeing films that are now making $1 billion in international
yeah.
box office, domestic box office. And their budgets are 250 to 300 million. And they're making four times that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of $1 billion, how about Manny Machado? Let's talk about some baseball.
Let's talk some baseball. Yeah, the first 6 minutes of this show dedicated to the Academy Awards. This is episode 95 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is his name is not a household name, the Takahito Nomura episode, only player in the history of baseball to ever wear number 95 for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2002. Probably was a call-up or, during... I've never heard of the name.
He's playing Nomura, if you know what I'm talking about.
He's playing Nomura. Very well done. Very well done. So, yeah, we've got finally, last week it was the JT Realmuto signing or trade, and now we have the first big-dollar player... come off the board. Manny Machado, surprisingly would be how some people would put it, because the Padres were such a late entry into the sweepstakes. They didn't really start talking about it until January. And then, boom, $300 million, 10 seasons, no deferred. Nice.
No deferred, but an opt-out after five.
Five, yeah, which he most likely will do, I would assume.
Probably, right?
He's still going to
be.
See. We'll see. Yeah. $30 million a year is pretty good.
But this is basically the exact deal that you and I talked about he was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Padres, for the last, three or four weeks, this is who I have been saying he should go to the Padres. I mean, I want him to go to the White Sox because I think that's an exciting thing they're doing. But the Padres have an exciting thing going too. And they don't have a third baseman.
Right.
For all the amazing prospects they have coming, which they have a ton coming, they don't have a third baseman.
Right.
Boom.
And
problem
and
solved.
He's going to play third base. After
he's
going to
play third. He could play some short.
Yeah. He could fill in.
Right? Yep. Fill in. Fernando Tatis Jr. comes
up. Mm-hmm.
This year probably at some point after the arbitration,
mid-April.
blah, blah, blah. I think he's going to be more like the Super 2. I think they're going to push him to the midsummer.
Okay.
And he probably could do a little work on his strikeouts and stuff like that. But, he's at that point where it's just bring him up. But they're going to manipulate, especially now that they got $30 million a year on the books. They got to manipulate everyone's contracts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, it's a good deal for the Padres. I know a lot of people are surprised, but I was like, good. That's perfect. That's $30 million. That's exactly what he's worth.
And
now people like Adam Wainwright who are saying, the strike's coming. We're going to have to strike. No, Adam, you don't have to strike. Manny got his money. And by the way, if your argument that there should be a baseball strike is hinging on one or two players and their contracts, maybe you need to dial it down a little bit. I know this is Trump's America, and you can only get attention if you're saying absolutely crazy ball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about going on strike and putting the game, the integrity of the game, the success of the game on the line because, this superstar player didn't get as much money as he wanted. He only got $280 million, not $300 million. That's just absolute garbage. And this just puts that to bed.
Well, I find it interesting, too, that the agent wind up being right. Talking, last month when he was saying that you guys are reporting irresponsibly if you think that the $175 million deal, 8-year, 175 is the offer that's on the table. That's a far cry. 300 is a far cry from 175. So I get how the players could react to that because everybody expected the 300. But now that he's got the 300, can we please shut up?
Right. We were getting a lot of hits on the site, people looking for, is there going to be a strike? Is there going to be a strike? People are starting, fans are starting to freak out. We don't want to, Pay
Last
them.
Last thing we want, right. Just pay them
worth. Okay, so now Manny's been paid, so now it's okay. Now there doesn't need to be a strike. Go out and get your money, but just know that all of the front offices are smarter now. Like, here's a great example. Mike Moustakas, 2 years ago, turns down a qualifying offer, right? And in the 2 years since, has doesn't make the same amount as he would for that one season with the qualifying offer.
Right.
Take, if someone offers you $18 million a year to play baseball, take the $18 million dollars a year. Just take it.
I was really surprised at how low the number was again. He's put together two good seasons after that, and he's still, what was this one, was $8
million? Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's supply and demand, and you have teams who are just like, well, it's not like the NFL where you have to spend a minimum, right? And the NBA has a minimum, right? Like, these teams are allowed to do this. They're allowed to have payroll disparities between the teams, which the other two major sports, I don't know what hockey does, but I don't know. Anyway, so here's what I'm saying. Players are going to make a lot of money if they're very good and they're what teams want. And obviously Manny is a player that teams want, because the White Sox said their offer was actually higher than that.
Right, but some of it was deferred, wasn't it?
But some of it was deferred, so then it's like, is
it real
dollars?
It was a creative contract,
Right. And I'm like, well, okay, well, fair enough. I don't, like, do players even really care if you're talking like $300 million and $320 million? Aren't you just picking where you want to play it? I mean, I know Manny said he was going to take the most money, but like, when you're talking about 10 more million over 10 years, is that really going to? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But Rick Hahn was very upset and vocalized that, and I thought that was great. It wasn't like Klentak with the Phillies, like, well, you know, we had him valued at a certain range, and that wasn't the value that we had, so sometimes you just got to let it go. You can tell they were throwing shit around the front office when that deal was announced. They were not happy because that's who they wanted. They valued Machado over Harper, and they didn't get Machado.
And that's the other thing, is I don't understand why the Phillies just didn't just say, all right, well, you know, $31 million a year. We need him.
Here's another 10. We'll throw $10 million at you.
Here's $10 million. In 8 years, what's that going to be? That's going to be nothing. Yeah. Hell, when players are called up, they're going to be making $30 million a year.
Right.
All right. Maybe not. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
Well, if the world turns into the baseball that you want, you're paying players, young players, a lot of money. So you never know. Yeah. We'll get there. So you mentioned Adam. Adam was Adam Wainwright, and he was the one that said, yeah, we're definitely going on strike.
Right. Unless there's a change to the system, we're going on strike. And maybe even a walkout in the middle of the season, he said.
And then the Padres acquiesced, changed everything.
Right. Yeah, yes. I couldn't help but notice that in that interview, no one asked him about Chris Davis's contract.
Some of these
or Albert Pujols.
Right. Yeah.
Not available for comment.
Right. No, that's funny. Yeah, because you never look at those. You're like, well, what? Well, they got what they deserve. Well, you know, that really at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. If the agents are good enough to get the ownership to overpay, fantastic. The owners don't have to pay it, but when they wind up turning around after everyone's worried about, you know, some sort of collusion, and they pay the price that everybody thought they were going to get, why are we even having those discussions? It seems like a waste of breath. So let's see.
Speaking of waste of breath, John, let's continue on with the show.
Bryce Harper reportedly turned down multiple $300 million offers. I hadn't heard that.
Okay, so allegedly, Bryce Harper has turned down multiple $300 million offers. This news
came
out.
Right? The Nationals one. That was all I heard.
Well, yeah. And I think this is one of those things where it's like, really, really, Bryce? Like when you're in high school and the guy's like, oh, no, I have a girlfriend. She just goes to another school. Like, Bryce, just because Manny got $300 million doesn't mean you need to start doing a thing. But obviously, you know, if he's got multiple $300 million offers, good for him. But I just don't really see that as being real, is it? I mean, I think he'll wind up making about $300 million. But now, like, he almost has to, right? He has to get $301.
Right. That would be Boris's tactic now. Is that under no circumstances will we accept anything other than, you know, $300 million and $1. We have to have the highest priced contract over 10 years.
He might pull the higher average annual value. Boris sometimes makes excuses for his contracts with that. Like, get some money deferred so the value of the contract is lower, but the number is higher.
Mm-hmm.
He did that with Scherzer with the Nationals. Of course, they could just be talking about the same offer from the Nationals being turned down multiple times.
Could be. So we talked about Moustakas back to the Brewers. Josh Harrison signed with the Tigers for a pittance, a couple million, which is like, wow, the mighty have fallen. He was like this versatile player, you know, 3-4 years ago, and now he's still versatile, but, you know, he didn't put up the offense. I think it was 2014 that he had the great year.
Yeah.
And hasn't been quite as good, but still really good because of how versatile he is. But the Tigers, wow.
Yeah, and I don't know. What are they doing? They're just trying to fill out the roster maybe? Or...
Yeah. And that's
but
the
then,
best.
Like, again, like, if you're tanking, then why fill out the roster with Josh Harrison? Unless they're thinking, well, we'll sign him for X amount of million dollars, and maybe midseason we can trade him for something and get... Like, I guess that's technically why the Royals signed Moustakas last year, was they traded him to the Brewers. I don't know what they got back in that trade was worth that money, but if you're looking at it from a purely economics, like statistical, financial management
You're buying system, a draft pick, more or less.
Yeah, prospect. Like, that's what these teams are doing if they're not in the hunt. And I know fans in general don't like that, and honestly, I don't like it. I think there should be some sort of minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Like some sort of minimum attempt to field a good team.
Yeah, instead of having one team with a $230 million payroll and another team with a $39 million payroll.
Right.
Doesn't seem right.
But that said, how do you enforce that with baseball where you have, what if you have like all young players coming up?
Right.
And they're just like, no, we have all these young players and we can't pay one of them. And so then maybe what the solution is then, like, well, you lose your revenue sharing, or so then it becomes not profit. But then, you know, once you start doing minimums, then you start having maximums in place. I've heard that's the argument with why the Players Association won't let them do a minimum. As soon as you start talking about caps.
Right. Then it scares everybody. Right.
Then it's like, oh, then we're going to lose. But like, all right. I don't know.
But the economics of baseball are backwards. You know, pay them for when they're,
yeah, it's
they're
so
the most
screwy.
Valuable. Yeah. We it's talk so about screwed. That, I think, every week because it is screwed up.
Yeah. It's so funny because I'm a total capitalist and technically, like, yes, exploit the workers. But at the same time, like, the workers are people. And, like, as someone who has been a worker who's been exploited, like, hey, let's share the wealth a little bit.
Right.
We're all making a lot of money. Why don't you make it so that I can have more than a ham sandwich for dinner?
Right.
Because I'm specifically referring to the underpaid players, right? The guy who comes up and even if you're making $500,000 a year, like that's a lot of money. But that's not necessarily even for the whole year if you're a young guy. And you get injured and then you go back to the minors, like that's it. Like you don't get to come back up and make $500,000 a year.
Right. That's why you take it when you can get it. And I like the idea of these younger guys signing these extensions.
Yeah.
Like Severino, the $40 million. Do it. Take it. $40 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand.
And yeah, like maybe by the end of that, he could have gotten more year by year, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Blows out his elbow mid-season because he's throwing 100 miles an hour. And then, boom, he's still got $40 million.
Yeah. So from that point of view, I think, you know, I like seeing these. Yeah, like even when Yelich signed his seven-year $49 million deal with the Marlins.
Oh, boy.
You know, at that time, he was 22, I think. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It is a lot of money.
22-year-old.
And the system, we kind of look at the number and laugh, but, like, really, he wasn't going to get a ton more than that through the arbitration process because it's so restrictive.
Right. So it was a big
Unless, of course, he blows up and turns into the MVP. Wah, wah.
Yeah, but he'll just have a bigger payday down the road.
Oh yeah, for sure. First of all, he's going to be fine on $50 million.
I could get by on $50 million. I could get by on $500,000 a year. I'd be okay with that. I'll do league minimum. I'm good. But I guess once you're in that situation and you look at somebody like, you know, like a Mike Trout when he first comes up and the guy's making league minimum and he's the best player in the game within a year, you know, that seems wacky.
But it's a bit of a screwy system.
Yeah, it's okay. So probably one of the biggest news other than the Manny Machado to the Padres news was Bruce Bochy announcing that he will retire after the season.
Is it Bruce Boucher?
Brucey.
Yeah, he's going to retire. Good for him. I still think that his story is, and I obviously hate the Giants, but he's such a great manager.
He is.
But I still think his story where the Padres fired him, like he had gotten the Padres to the playoffs and had them in contention.
Mm-hmm.
And then like then the next year, he just missed the playoffs and the Padres were like, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to go. We want to go with a younger person. Mm-hmm. And they went with someone who was 2 years younger than
right.
Bochy.
Well, that's younger.
And then the Padres tanked. And Bochy was like, all right, cool. Well, I guess I'll go over and manage the Giants and see what happens up here. Three World Series. And meanwhile, the Padres have been like absolutely awful for the whole time he's been gone.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Going to miss that gravelly voice.
He's a great manager, man. Like,
he flinches at nothing. That's what I love about him. Stone-faced. Yeah. Nothing bothers him. He doesn't show a heck of a lot of excitement until they win a World Series. He's just a very even-keel, steady guy and very likable.
Yeah. Well, so this is going to be his last year. I don't think it's going to be a good year for them. I don't know if you saw they signed Cameron Maben.
Yeah, that was a big up, a big pickup.
Yeah. So I guess they're not in on Harper? Or
so that's their fallback.
That was their fallback. But again, like a team like the Giants, who's got no chance of winning more than 75 games, and even like the White Sox, like, yes, go get Harper,
because
you're going to have him for 10 years.
Right. And you can build around that.
I think the Giants' payroll is still so high, right? Like, it's nearly $200 million.
Yeah. With a bunch of old players.
With a bunch of old players. Like, how smart were the Rays to get out from underneath that Longoria contract? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That was great.
Brilliant.
Everyone was like, oh, wow, look how clever the Giants were in you know, getting this deal. Like, yeah, they were clever last year getting Longoria. Now they're not clever.
And the other retirement announcement seemed to take on some sort of like a legendary status in retirement announcements. It's like with the people that showed up for his press conference and all the well wishes that started pouring in from him from all over the entertainment industry and different sports. It's like, is CC Sabathia that
and
good?
And the restaurant industry as well.
Right. They're like, you can come visit us. We'll throw in a free dessert.
CC Sabathia hanging it up after 19 years.
It's hard
this
to
is
going to
be his last season.
Yeah.
19 years.
And his best year as a player was when he got traded to the Brewers.
And he was pitching. Remember, he was pitching on 3 days rest sometimes.
It was
and like
crazy.
Yeah.
He had,
and they were just like, good. We're losing you at the end of the season. We're just going to run you out there. And he was like, hey, I'm into it. Yeah. Let's do
and
it.
He
Let's
had
make
put
it happen.
Up a I think it was like 11-2 and a 1.6 ERA during that half of the season he was with them. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Not to say that he wasn't good before that with the Indians, and he was okay. Right. He had a couple of good seasons with the Yankees, but you know he's an innings eater now.
Yeah, he got a World Series with the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
He was part of that Teixeira that offseason where they signed Teixeira and Sabathia, I think, right? And then someone else too. And then it was the first time that anyone had really bought a World Series.
Oh, I don't know about that first time. Yankees used to do it all the time with Steinbrenner. Reggie Jackson. The Yankees?
No, I mean in like the modern, like modern. I don't want to go back into the 70s and stuff. I'm talking about like, because, you know, like teams would just throw money at free agents and throw money at free agents. And this was like the first time where it was like, oh, no, look, they went out and got like the two or three best players in free agency. And then.
Right.
I was just looking it up. You know, Michael Brantley was in that Sabathia trade to the Brewers.
It?
Everyone else looks like it's trash here. Matt LaPorta, who I vaguely remember. Zach Jackson. Zach with an H. Dude.
Wrong.
Get with the times. And then Rob Bryson.
Oh, what a haul.
Yeah. But Michael Brantley.
That was good.
Yeah.
That worked out for him?
Yeah, it worked out great. Worked out for the Indians. Worked out for everybody. Good solid trade. Good solid baseball trade there.
Yeah. Win for everybody.
Brewers gave up four players, but didn't really give up.
And they made headlines the whole second half of that season.
That was amazing. They
were in the wild card game, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's see. Cespedes thinks will play in 2019, while everybody else thinks that his recovering heels will have him sidelined the whole year. Basically meaning he's been unproductive for two seasons.
Do you need heels to play sports?
I think you do. Last time I checked.
That part of the foot, do you even really need that, John?
He could play in these new professional leagues for gamers. He could do that. Become a pro in that. Doesn't require much. Or drone racing. Those are sports.
What an unfortunate contract that's turned out to be for the Mets, though, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, electric player, but he's a little bit of a, well, you know, I'm injured, but I'm going to go play golf. You know, I'm good to play golf, but I'm not good to play baseball.
I mean, I do get, look, and I don't want to cast aspersions. I don't know him, but it does sort of strike me as the kind of guy where it's like he got his paycheck and like
enjoying himself.
It's all guaranteed. And like, well, I'm not going to just, you know, just focus on baseball.
I'm living my life, man. Having fun.
Really?
He's like, I'm not going to go out and party when I'm 50.
I did not like him when he was on the Red Sox. He was not a good fit there. And then he goes to the Mets, and it was like electric, right? Where did he go after the Red Sox? Did he go to the Mets from the Red Sox?
I think so.
No, I thought, was there an in-between?
No, he was with the A's, which is where it all started. And
right, A's traded for Lester and blah, blah, blah.
And then I think he went from there to the Mets.
Wasn't it like the Detroit?
Did he? Really?
I thought it was like Detroit, like the Red Sox trade. Yeah, Porcello.
Oh, okay. For a half season, then he signed with the Mets?
Yeah. No, he was traded to the Mets, and he went nuts. Do you remember? He went like CC Sabathia, but as a hitter.
Right.
Yeah, to the Tigers for Rick Porcello. Okay, so then he goes there, doesn't do that great in Detroit, goes to New York, lights it up. Crazy. Unbelievable.
And then they extended him.
And then they extended him.
Right. Big mistake.
And then, and then not exactly, my understanding, I remember thinking at the time, it wasn't exactly like, wow, what a great price they got for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like no hometown discount.
Yeah, he was one of those players that you're like, as good as he is, he could flame out with an injury. And there was some injury risk, hamstring issues that he had when he was with the A's. So there were signs that, you know, he could have, but two heels, both heels, what's that?
Yeah.
I'm not quite, that's unfortunate. But the Mets are still going to have a good team this year. I don't know if they're playoff ready, but they're going to be close.
they should have really good pitching, and they should have really good hitting. The bullpen is a bit of a question mark, though the end of the bullpen is not a question mark.
Right, right. The middle.
The defense is a little, and like where do they put everyone is a little, but that should be a solid team. They should be that should be an 84, 85 easy. And I don't mean, hey, Mets fans, sorry. I don't mean that's all they can win. But I'm just saying that should be a pretty much a lock, 85 wins.
Right. Especially being in the same division as the Marlins.
I mean, they do get to play the Marlins. I mean, so they also have to play the Phillies and the Nationals and the Braves.
Right.
But we'll maybe see. They can get some games against the Giants or the Diamondbacks who've thrown in the towel for the year.
So Chris Berman is heading over to do some Red Sox broadcasts?
Yeah, I don't know if you know, but Jerry Remy, who's basically my favorite non-Vin Scully radio announcer
really?
Of all time, he's been having some health issues, and so they've been just like cycling people through. So apparently Berman's going to be part of that, which I guess is fine. Like that's a tolerable amount of Chris Berman, right?
Yeah, it depends on which Chris Berman it is. Is it the grandstander or the... the knowledgeable baseball.
How tired did that thing get?
Yeah. It just wore.
And then it became a parody of itself, and then the parody became self-aware and then parodized itself.
But then it's kind of like he goes on the tour of, come on, Chris, do the back. Come on, you can do it. And he's like, okay. It's like the band. It's like the Rolling Stones. Like, we have to play Satisfaction. Do we really have to play that? Play the same
now, hold on
song
a second.
Over.
Satisfaction is one of the greatest songs, like ever. It's not the same as Chris Berman's back.
It's just the. Well, I know that they used to. I remember seeing an interview once with Mick Jagger saying how tiring it gets to play the same songs over and over.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
but this guy literally has one song.
Who, Berman? Just
Chris
the
Berman
back
has
song?
One song.
Well, he had all
it's
the nicknames.
It's Baby Got Back by Chris Berman featuring Sir Mix-a-Lot.
There you go. But But I have to comment on the Remy thing. Remy is probably the biggest homer other than Hawk Harrelson that I've ever heard.
No, but here's the thing. He loves the team so much.
Yeah.
And I'm a Red Sox fan, so it's perfect.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, objectively, no. Absolutely. No. That would be so annoying to have to listen to that. But it's not like listening to Ron Darling. You know what I mean? Like, at least he's not on, like, a national television show being Ron Darling.
He doesn't.
No offense, Ron Darling. You're fine.
He doesn't bother me. Remy is.
Ron Darling doesn't bother you?
No, he doesn't bother
me. Do you have ears?
He's not obnoxious.
He's insufferable.
Remy's obnoxious.
You know who's the most insufferable, though? I mean, besides, obviously, Joe Buck. And, of course, Joe Morgan was just so difficult to put up with. But who was that? What's that one guy? The guy that was, who talks like this. And he's always making points about baseball.
Who is that?
It's like Henry Hill, but he's one of the nasty boys. Which one is it?
Charlton? No. Dibble? Rob Dibble?
Dibble. I hate him so much.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. I don't like him either.
Here's the thing. There are, you know who's amazing? Al Leiter, super charismatic guy.
Awesome guy. He's awesome.
Knows baseball. Boom. You know who's become totally insufferable? We talked about this before. Smoltz.
Yeah, he's gotten just like this cranky old man. What's that all about?
I have no idea. Like, the guy used to be so charismatic and like, hey, I used to play baseball and how fun is this? And now we're talking about it. Oh my God. And then it's like, then it became like, actually I'm kind of an analyst here and I take my job very seriously.
Right.
I'm wearing glasses.
But his whole thing now is like, I'm old school. It's about the old school. The game that I grew up in is the game that is memorable.
Right.
It's like every era says that, but you're now on the other side of the fence. You're not playing anymore.
Yeah, but didn't he like flip a switch though and turned into that guy, right?
Gradual. He was fun. He was fun when he first went on to MLB Network, and then he turned into this like crotchety old man. I don't know what happened.
You know what my brand is going to be? Old guy.
Old guy.
That's I'm going to be Gran Torino over here.
Get off my lawn. So, what were we talking about? Completely lost to where we were. Oh, we're talking about Remy.
We're up to the Bauer thing. We're going to talk about the Bauer.
We talked about Severino. So, Trevor Bauer is accusing the Indians of character assassination during arbitration. And apparently this process that they have, so you have the player, his management, the team, the league, the players association, and then there's like this other party that's kind of like in between the players association or in between the team that does all the bad stuff, and they just ripped into him.
Right.
And it just is like,
and this is the process. This is the arbitration process, by the way, that both sides have agreed to. And basically the argument one side makes is that the player is the greatest player to ever play the game.
Right.
And the other side is this is the worst player. We don't even know why we have him on our team, but we'll pay him, I guess.
Right. Well,
it's
we'll
the
pay
dumbest
him
process.
$16 million, well, I guess, instead of 14.5. I just that whole process where we're talking about most of the time we're only the difference is like $2 to $3 million. So split the difference and let's avoid all this.
I always say split the difference and let's move on, because like first of all. Well, Trevor Bauer has announced that he'll never sign a long-term contract. Now, he is saying that, and to be fair, I'm not sure a lot of teams would want to sign him to a long-term contract. He's a little bit of what they would call a red ass.
Right.
And I think he does plenty of good work towards his own character assassination out in the public.
And there's a really good chance that he will never be the head of the Major League Players Association. Because
though he may wind up making more per year than
he will, but his
equally
I
talented
it.
Pitcher.
I love he's like he comes out and says, "Well, I might have a bad year next year, and no team should pay me for having a poor year." And there's other players like Chris Davis, like sucker.
Chris Davis is like, "What? Who? What? What are you talking about?"
Hey, I'll take the money.
I'm on vacation.
So,
I'm working on my launch angle.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him this year, because he can't get any worse. He could win comeback player of the year hitting .215. You know,
I mean, I do like hearing the stories that he is working on his swing and stuff. And, you know, maybe he just bulked up too much. Remember when Juan Gonzalez did
that? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Whatever, 15 years ago. He just got too big. Yeah. Like, too many steroids, sorry, allegedly, whatever. Too much enhancement, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
His performance was enhanced too much.
He looked like Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, and he looked like those, the He-Man action figures.
The He-Man action, yep.
Right? And he's like, by the power of Grayskull, he kept striking out and couldn't make good contact with the ball because he had to shift that whole body of his around. It didn't work anymore. So I'm hoping Davis gets something going. He might be like in an on-base percentage fantasy baseball league. He might be a bit of a sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, might be.
So interesting story from Jeff Luhnow, Astros GM, saying that they had a deal in place last year to acquire Harper, the trade deadline.
Yeah. And then the ownership, Nats ownership, put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, because they were afraid that, you know, they would go down in flames as being the leadership team in front office that got rid of Bryce Harper.
See, I remember when Mike Piazza got traded, and there was a lot of talk about that in Los Angeles, about like, well, you don't want to be the GM or the team that traded away the Hall of Famer. Like, why not? If you get good players back for it, why not?
Trade it to the Marlins for a week.
For a week, right? But like, it was like, yeah, who cares? We got a bunch of players back. Didn't I? What, they got Sheffield, Charles Johnson, and Eisenreich, and maybe a pitcher in there too. I'm like, that's the best they could get for Mike Piazza. Fine.
Yeah. Didn't hurt.
And then he gets traded to the Mets, and then he stays with the Mets, becomes a Hall of Famer, and he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. But like, who cares?
Is
that's
he going
all
as,
like going to be.
What did he go in?
My
with?
Understanding is he's going in as a Met.
Oh.
Though he might maybe – he's in as a Met, right?
Right.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So he went in as a Met even though he spent more time with the Dodgers.
Even though he was drafted in the 62nd round by the Dodgers as a favor to Tommy Lasorda.
Because Ted Williams said he's got a good swing. That's all and that really was one of those stories where Lasorda was like, yeah, let's take a flyer on this guy.
Well, Lasorda's his godfather.
Right. Family connections. It was the last round he was picked up in? Like a thousand.
I mean, I just remember it was
the
62nd
like
round. Yeah. That was back when they had 62 rounds, which they don't have anymore.
So, well, let's see. This was interesting, too, that Cubs didn't spend money this year because they didn't have any money to spend. That was coming from Jim Ricketts? I don't remember which one's the father and which one's the son.
But no, this is the son that said okay. The father was busy saying other things.
Other things, right. Islamophobic things and... yeah, it's not the Cubs way.
Yeah.
But it's dad's way, but
fair,
it's not the Cubs way.
If someone
way.
Got into my dad's emails, it would not look good for me. I'm just kidding. Thanks for listening, Dad. Just kidding. My dad doesn't listen.
I think that if any, there's not a single person on the planet, all these PC people and all these gaslighters and triggering people, go check your email. Go check your social media 5, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, and get back to us with what you were saying then. And there's no pure person walking on the planet that has lived a PC life. Not even the most Christian person has not at some point. Well, Christians probably have a lot of politically
incorrect.
Well,
let's not cast aspersions on religions. Let's not be Christianophobic, John.
Oh, I've been there. Been there, done that. Got the badge.
But anyway, so Ricketts says they don't have any money, so that's why they didn't buy anyone. But also, like, who are they going to buy? Like, maybe Harper, but then what do they do with all their players?
Right. They're a classic example of a team that has had a hangover since they won the World Series. Same team, more or less, with a couple of pitchers that didn't perform at all or either horribly. But that it's pretty much the same team.
Yeah.
So it's underperformance.
Yeah.
Or they
overperform.
They're kind
of stuck,
the
right? Like
they
have Schwarber and left. They're committed to that, which I think is a bad idea. They have Ian Happ and Alberto Almaro, whatever the hell his name is, in center. And then they got Jason Hayward that they're stuck with in right.
That's not a sexy outfield.
But what are they going to do? They can't get rid of it.
No.
Like, you can't just not play Jason Hayward. He's another guy who's like
money.
Very
Thank
quiet
you.
During these
He golfs with Chris Davis, doesn't he?
Yes, exactly.
They laugh all the way down the fairway in their carts. They do donuts.
Pujols would golf with them, but he's got the plantar fasciitis.
Right.
So.
Yeah, can't do it. Can't do it. But they do donuts in the fairways and the ground cruises. Come on, man, you can't do it. And they just throw them, you know, $50,000. Say, take care of it.
They just throw money. They replace their divots with cash.
Yeah, no big deal. We got that. We're covered. So sad news in Dodger camp. Don Newcomb passes away. 92, a life well lived.
Yes.
It was interesting. He won Rookie of the Year in 1949. That's going back a ways.
Well, the Dodgers have more Rookies of the Year than any other team.
Do they?
And I think more than the next two combined. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's and he had a very interesting journey, too. You know, he had, after won the Cy Young, MVP one season, well-known in Brooklyn more so than in L.A. I think he was traded right after they moved to L.A. But he then had a bout with alcoholism, overcame it, then came back to counsel players within the Dodgers organization. I don't know, from top to bottom, and dealing with substance abuse and stuff like that, which, you know, talk about a second career. That's pretty important work.
I mean, it's almost as important as baseball. Just kidding.
Okay, let's get back to that. So, last but not least for headlines, we've got Major League Baseball is putting in new rules to curtail sign stealing. What are the rules?
Yes. Okay, so basically they're saying that no one on the team can watch the game live except for the instant replay consultant.
Okay.
Like on a TV. They have to watch. If they're in a stadium, you have to watch the game on the field. You can't watch it on a TV.
Is there enough time to transfer sign stealing from television watcher to someone in the dugout to someone on the field? Is there enough time to do that?
Well, technically, yes, because you can observe something in the first inning.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell the players, and then they can look for it in the second inning.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Whatever. I think as long as you're not, like, got a guy in the stands with a, you know, with a long lens, I think, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Is it going to really change the outcome of the game? If all of a sudden home runs go up?
It's part of the game. Yeah. Have you ever seen someone like player managers doing signs? It's because they don't want the sign to be stolen. So then the game becomes to steal the sign.
Right.
I just imagine like the first managers, like before they had like coded stuff and it was just like, all right, oh, that's the sign for steal. And the other team's like, okay, good. They're going to steal on this one.
Right.
You guys.
Right. Watch. Right.
Bunt.
It's coming. Still have to execute. That's the main thing with baseball.
Yeah. You still have to execute.
Yeah. So that wraps up headlines for the starting nine is in honor of Manny Machado signing with San Diego. So you have nine players with Anchorman quote names.
Anchorman quote. Okay, so Manny's in San Diego. Obviously, San Diego, great weather. No football team. No hockey team. Baseball team. But what it's really known for is the movie Anchorman. Actually, it's not really known for that. I just thought it'd be kind of fun to try something a little different for starting nine. So here we go. Anchorman quotes. One of the most quotable movies. Maybe one of the worst plots for a movie. And actually some of the worst storytelling in the history of film, but very quotable. Here we go. David, I'm kind of a big doll. David Doll.
Kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal. Right?
Right.
That's probably the most famous quote from that movie, right? All right, here we go. Eric, 60% of the time, it works every thames.
That's good.
All right. I'm in a glass case of Emotion Doolittle.
These are good.
Here's another one. Jake, I love lamb. That's Jake, I love lamb.
Lamp?
I love lamp.
I love lamp. Oh, that's right. That's Carell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Carell. Doing loud noises. I'm going to do loud. Right. Do I do I love lamp or do I do loud noises? I'm going to go with I love lamp. All right. Here's another one. That escalated Kikely Hernandez.
Good.
All right. Martine, I would like to extend to you an invitation to the Pants Prado.
That might be the longest amount of words in between the first and last name ever.
That's great. Well, here we go. This is basically going to be the opposite of that. They named it San Diego, which, of course, in Domingo Herman means a whale's vagina.
It's making me want to watch the movie again.
Next one. Mike Ilda guy with a trident trout.
Okay.
Okay. And then finally, Mitch, go back to your home on Whore Moreland.
Those are good.
Got to mix it up a little, John. Very you know, incredible. We can't just go out there and do, you know, a movie's coming out, movies like it, name, superheroes.
I was assuming it was going to be an Academy Award thing.
I think we did, like, Best Picture.
Did we do that?
When the nominations came out. And honestly, I had no idea that the Academy Awards were this weekend.
Yeah, they're a little bit earlier now. They used to be, I guess, the first week of March. And then they moved it up, way up, and then they moved it back. So, yeah, playing with our minds. But I think this will be the lowest watched broadcast of the Academy Awards of all time.
I'm into it.
Because, you know, the only reason Kevin Hart was picked because they wanted to bring in a younger crowd. He's the most, I guess.
Bring in a younger, more diverse crowd. They're like, nope, sorry, you made a joke 8 years ago that you apologized for many times, but it's not enough.
It could be a disaster. Could be.
I mean, could it though? I mean, they've had, what was the one with Franco and Hathaway?
That was bad. Yeah.
Could it be worse than that? Yeah, or probably. Could it just be that bad and that's a disaster in itself?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. They did a couple of times with the multiple hosts too. Whoopi Goldberg, and there was like three different Steve Martin, and I don't remember. There was three rotating. They did. There was one year where they had something very similar. Was it a strike related thing that I don't remember what it was? But they had no host. This is not the first time.
Mm.
Bring back the days of Bob Hope and Johnny Carson and Billy Crystal and. The good stuff.
Yeah, the white patriarchy. I understand.
Right, yeah, the good stuff. Well, you just have to be so careful, you know?
Here's the thing. It's exhausting, John. Because can't we just, like, laugh at something or not laugh at something?
But if you laugh and somebody looks at you sideways, you're like, oh, I can't laugh at that anymore? I can't be funny? Something that is funny can't be funny? Because one person in the room doesn't laugh?
People who are, so tuned into it, who are so like, oh, what did you just say? Did you just do what? Did you what? What's that? Right. What's that?
Is there a comedian out there that is the PC comedian where everything that he talks about or she talks about is funny because it's politically correct? I can't imagine that would even be a funny show.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of comedians out there who are preaching the wokeness. They're also quite unwoke in their material.
Right. Right. And I guess that's one of the great things about comedy, for the most part, is that you can get away with more than any. Like the late night talk show hosts get away with anything. You know, they can take advantage of any triggering scenario and make light of it in some way, shape, or form. So they have a little bit more latitude. Comedy has latitude with these things.
Yeah.
So good thing this isn't a comedy show, huh?
Yeah.
So now we got extra innings. We're going to take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. I didn't even hear about this one, but the Pelicans have been in our extra innings for 3 weeks in a row. Now they're parting ways with their GM.
Yeah, remember how everyone was talking about like how suave it was that he played mind games with the Lakers? And, well, apparently the ownership did not think that Dell Demps was suave, and they let him go.
So was the response more about how they, because I be honest with you, I don't read up on the NBA too much. You just see headlines that how they got to the point where Davis was unhappy, or was it a combination of how it was handled after the fact, or just all
I'm
after
sure
the
it
fact?
Wasn't just because he was manipulating the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was like a number of things. It's not like, you know, the team is not in a position to win, and they have one of the best players in the league. And what do you do about that? It's a weird league right now, the NBA, because, like, there's only really a few teams that have a chance to win now, and with players sort of, and I don't really have a problem with players being able to sort of work their way onto the teams they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little strange to me, you know, growing up and seeing like rivals, you know, going after each other, but these guys are all millionaire rich friends. So like, they're like, hey, you want to play on my team? Like, yeah, I'll play on your team. That'll be fun. We'll play against some of these weaker teams, and we'll just run the score up and we'll go get a championship together.
Right.
Oh, it lacks the competitive, you know, feeling from like when I used to play sports. Like I played hard and I would play against my friends, but then I wouldn't want to just like double up with the best players and
just dominate,
beat up everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's not really that fun. Like, oh, we make ourselves an all-star team and then who's left?
Right.
I don't know. It's weird. I feel I'm a little bit in the old man. I'm a little Gran Torino in that way.
Right.
But yeah, he just got let go because he tried to make a good team and he didn't. Period.
Right. Right. Well, ownership says that they're trying to build a championship team, and they've had Davis there for what, 4 years, 5 years, and they're not even close. He's a one man wrecking crew, and they have nothing. You know, I would say nothing, but the supporting cast doesn't put them into the upper echelon. So they should have been doing a lot more to build around him. If that, they said, well, yeah, the future of our team is we want to build our future around him. Like, well, you've had 5 years to do that. Why haven't you?
Right. So then in the NBA, like after 5 years, like Anthony Davis is a free agent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Going to make a
So you got to make it happen or you got to do like the Phillies did, like
Sixers.
It's worked out for the Sixers. But not everyone can pull that off. You know, it was a bit of a crapshoot. Right. And actually, the general manager that had this plan actually got fired.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But his plan worked.
Right. Okay. this one I don't know anything about either. Duke's Zion Williamson said he gained 100 pounds in 2 years during high school. Was this an eating thing? Was this a growth spurt? Was this weight?
I think it was a growth spurt and like a, you know, probably not performance enhancing stuff, but it's probably just like he got bigger, you know, like I remember when
protein
I was
shakes.
Protein shakes, right? He called Mark McGuire and was like, hey Mark, what's going on with how can I gain 100 pounds? But anyway, he's the best player in the
by far
in college right now, and he's going to make some NBA team very happy this summer. But yeah, he went through, I don't know if you saw, like last night he didn't even blow out his knee, but he sprained his knee or something because his shoe exploded.
No, I didn't see that.
But you know, you add 100 pounds, things like this is going to happen.
Right. You know? Right. You have to get better shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just been eating his feelings. I don't know. Maybe he broke up with a girl, but it's worked out well for him. He's an absolute monster and should be a monster at the next level as well.
I don't even know if I want to talk about this next one. The whole Jussie Smollett thing.
Look,
what a
disaster. I've been avoiding putting this in here for 2 or 3 weeks now. I just find it all so fascinating.
I just don't
understand
it. Isn't
it fascinating?
It's just like, why?
That's the thing.
Why would anybody do something like this that with a good amount of police work, they're going to be found as lying? I don't get it.
Yeah, like when it first happened, I was like, oh, man, this is awful. But then it was like, wait, where did it happen?
Right.
At what time? And what was the scenario? That he was getting a sandwich at 2 a.m. from Subway. Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't.
At 2 a.m. in Chicago, and I think it was like 1 degree out. Like.
The perfect crime.
Dude, seamless. Ever heard of Postmates?
Yeah.
Ever heard of DoorDash?
Keep your robe on.
Right?
Dang.
You don't even have to get dressed, dude.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this was like something where maybe it wasn't quite the way it was presented. And then it was like, because I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is one of those things. You know, the guy goes out looking to get into some
mischief,
you know, unsavory, some mischief at late. Right. And is like, this is his cover for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the details start coming out and it's like, well, wait, now that makes even less sense now.
Right.
And he has stuck to his story, like the day the two brothers were arrested, he was on Good Morning America sticking to his story about how this was two white men with you know, who are racist. And like, of course, when it's like, wait, so that there's two white guys walking around Chicago at 2 a.m. thinking that that's MAGA country.
Right.
In Chicago.
Looking for trouble.
Chicago, Illinois. Looking for trouble. Like, I'm sorry, but those two guys are going to get trouble. Those two are more likely to get the snot kicked out of them than they are to kick the snot out of someone else. And then it was like, the quote was that they had said something like, oh, you're that guy, and I won't use the words, but from, you know, racial slur, sexual preference slur, from Empire. And I was like, now hold on a second. Two MAGA guys wandering around watch Chicago. Empire? Watch Empire? I'm going to be honest with you. I had only ever vaguely seen this guy's name.
I don't even know
on the
is.
Internet.
Never seen him before.
I had only vaguely, like, I had seen him like at this rally or this, and like Jussie Smollett. All right, well, fine. He's an actor on the show. Okay, good. It's not my kind of show. I don't really watch a lot of drama, and it's not. I don't think that that's geared towards my whatever. But then it just the way it all starts unfolding, and then like, and now there's some thought that he might be behind the letter that was sent to him, the threatening letter that he might have. Oh my God.
Isn't being in like, on television enough attention?
But is it? And like, it's the Trump derangement syndrome, right? Where it's like, I want more recognition. I want more retweets and faves. I want more attention. He like doubled his follower count on Twitter when the news came out and everyone was like, oh, we love you. We support you. And like Ellen Page went on Stephen Colbert and made like this heartfelt plea to her, you know, her friend Jussie was attacked and it's all because of this administration and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, but now what?
Right.
Oh, what if it wasn't because of this administration?
Walking it back.
But in a way, it is because of this administration, because this administration has driven some people over the edge.
Both sides,
for sure. It's just a fascinating story. And I feel bad for him in a way because, like, it does seem like he has done something here.
Yeah,
that a smarter person, a less disturbed person wouldn't have done.
But, you know.
So he's either stupid or he's, you know, mentally impaired.
6 months from now, another story like this will pop up.
But they'll do it better. They won't go to the police. You just go to the media. You don't have to go to the police.
There's no reason to go to the police. Try your case in the court of public opinion. Yeah.
Can you imagine if he hadn't gone to the police? They'd still be saying right now that he was attacked by two MAGA. And like, this is like, he would have fame and notoriety, the likes of which he never dreamed of. Or maybe they dreams of all the time.
Right. You're giving people the blueprint.
Yeah.
There they go.
How about some positive news?
Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry are ready to start a family.
And I saw this news headline. I thought to myself, yeah, I bet Orlando Bloom wants to lock up that Katy Perry money pronto.
Right. Why not?
Because look, there's prenups and whatever. But as soon as you have a kid, boom,
everything
kick up
changes.
Your feet.
Right.
You got alimony. You got child support. Like, look, if the prenup, because obviously Katy Perry is a bigger star than Orlando Bloom.
Sure.
God bless Orlando Bloom. He does some solid work. Fantastic in the Lord of the Rings series. Mm-hmm. But Katy Perry is going to have so much more money than him. I called Orlando Bloom her. My apologies, though a slip of the tongue. I will say one of my favorite movie experiences I ever had was watching Kingdom of Heaven starring Orlando mm-hmm. Bloom. And openly mocking the whole film all the way through in a public theater and just the entire audience laughing along. It was so bad, and everyone in the theater hated it so much. I was just making comments out loud, and people loved it.
No one turned around and said...
No one got out. No one said, shut up. Everyone was just laughing. It was so bad. It was like this laughable thing, like... He has a particular thing Orlando Bloom does, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a leading man, you know? It's just, let someone else be the leading man. Let Aragorn be the leading man.
Right.
You're an elf. You know what I mean?
Although he was good in the Pirates movies. Swashbuckler.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do people think like, wow, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know what I remember the most about those films? Is Orlando Bloom's solid performance as... Johnny Depp's sidekick.
Yeah, why not?
He's an elf.
He's an elf. He made his money being an elf, so he's probably happy with that. He's good.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine being Katy Perry's husband.
I'm just saying, if I'm him, I lock it up, I get the kid, and then I just say, boom, that's it.
Right.
I'm not working again.
Right.
Doesn't also, happen. if you don't work, you can get better alimony and child support.
Oh, that explains it all. He'll be fun, Mr. Mom.
Fun trick of the alimony system is if the person just chooses not to work, then their income is counted as zero.
Wow,
nice loophole.
Another blueprint.
Yes,
folks.
See,
Jed is full.
This
of
is America,
wisdom.
Man. People say they want to make America great again. America's already great.
So what's coming up next?
Do they have the technology? Can they rebuild him? Find out on the next episode of the $300 Million Manny.